Jesus was tempted, and we are tempted the same way. Jesus was tempted in three different ways. We are tempted in the same three ways. The first temptation was change the stones into bread. The second, the devil challenged him to cast himself down from the temple so that the angels would have to save him. And the third temptation, why don't you just bypass the cross? You can worship Satan and bypass the cross, and you can be second in command in the world's kingdoms after Satan. Those were the temptations that Christ had. Our temptations, these same three ways. There's only three. I know some of you ladies think that chocolate is a temptation, but there are only three spiritual temptations. We are tempted by the immediate. In other words, be impatient. Don't wait for anything. Get it now. We're tempted by the expedient. Let's take the easy way out. Let's not do it God's way. And we are tempted by the counterfeit. Let's take the temporary fix instead of doing it right. I learned as a young man, my dad taught me, he said, if you can't do it right, how are you going to have time to do it over? The devil teaches us the same thing. And let's look at those, and then we'll look at the temptations, and then we'll look at the tempter. The first temptation, change those stones into bread. Now, who did the devil say that to? He said it to our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. What was the circumstances that he said it? Jesus hadn't had anything to eat for 40 days. I think after 40 days I'd be hungry too. Nothing is wrong with desiring bread when you're hungry. Get that fact down. Nothing is wrong with desiring bread when you're hungry. Nothing is wrong with desiring things that you need to keep your body and soul and family together. Nothing wrong with that. But the temptation to sin for the sake of bread is quite common. You get in the world today, the world will teach you that if you want something, you go borrow money and spend it. And then you take your time about paying it back. If you don't have time to pay it back, you go bankrupt and stick somebody with the bill. Spend before earning is the world's way. The world also teaches that there's nothing wrong with a young lady and a young man moving in together and having children and then someplace down the line getting married. The devil teaches and the world teaches that there's nothing wrong with that. God's method is you date, you marry, you have children. The world also teaches, and Guernsey County is probably one of the worst in the country for this. We go out and retire before we go to work. And we have generations of people in Guernsey County that have never held a job. They retire, and they draw their money, and they never hold a job, and they never earn. That is the temptation that they have fallen for, to change stones into bread. The devil doesn't see anything wrong with that. How shall we use our gifts is the question that I want to ask. And that's the question that God asks us. Do we use them to satisfy our desires that we have within us? And we all have desires, not just hunger. You know, I can get fiercely hungry if I go without a meal for 15 minutes. And you can tell by looking at me that I haven't missed too many of them. That's a desire. That's within us. Security. We all want security. There's nothing wrong with security. If you don't plan for security in your old age, you're a fool. Simple as that. You need to plan for these things. You might die before your money runs out. Your money might run out before you die. We don't know that, so it takes planning. Passions. We all have passions. We have to keep those under control and use them in the proper way. Everybody wants to be popular. Nobody wants to be the last kid to be chosen for the baseball team. I knew I grew up like that. I was a little fella. I was the shortest kid in the class, little skinny kid. And when they'd choose up for ball in the recess, I was the last one. If there was an odd one there, I got left field. Nobody hit the left field. That was me. But I fooled them. Between my freshman year and my sophomore year in the summer, I grew 11 inches. I went from 4 foot 11 to 5 foot 10 in one summer. Boy, did I have some scores to settle. I'd been picked on for a long time, and now I could do the picking. We all like popularity, and we all like power, but we've got to get it the right way. We are tempted to accomplish God's work with man's power. That's why in a church, prayer is important. It's not programs that run a church, it's prayer. This church operates on prayer, the prayers of God's people. I don't care how good your programs are, your programs without prayer are going to fail. We need to accomplish God's work with God's power. God's power demands patience. God's timetable, if you've been around a year or two, you've got this figured out. God's timetable and our timetable are not always the same. In fact, many times they're not the same. The Bible teaches us in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And it says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Patience is a virtue. God teaches us that we need to pursue virtues. Sometimes, in order to get patience, we have to go through tribulation. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. And God sees how we handle that. Our churches today are full of green fruit that we have tried to pick before it was ripe. We've tried easy believism and everything that goes along with it, and we've led people to a false sense of security, and that's why they never amount to anything for the Lord. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit has to draw somebody before they can be saved. And we don't have the patience to let the Holy Spirit have its time to work. You'll never see in this church somebody walk up to a stranger, a visitor in the church, and bend their arm and ask him if they're saved. The Holy Spirit has to convict. Sometimes the Holy Spirit convicts and we get somebody that walks through the door that's ready and ripe and they're ready for salvation. Other times they may sit here for 6 months. They may sit here for 2 years and never accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because everybody doesn't. But we need to remember the Holy Spirit is our guide and our leader. Bible salvation is a heart change, not a head change. And a lot of people get salvation in their head, but it's 18 inches from being the kind that saves. The second thing we see in this passage of Scripture, cast thyself down. And we're talking about the expedient. It would have been very easy for Jesus Christ to have been a hero that day. He could have cast himself off of that temple, and the angels would have gathered around him and caught him, and everybody would have seen that, and the news would have been all over the world, and he'd have been a great man. He would have had a kingdom, but without a cross. He would have had a bloodless religion. He would have had salvation without repentance. You can't have salvation without repentance. You have to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. So many times we see examples today of people that claim to be Christians, and they use the claim of God's power to further their own interest. I don't think a TV evangelist needs to live in a $50 million home. I don't think a TV evangelist needs to fly the latest jet to get across town. There are people that are lost and have never heard the name of Christ in the foreign countries, and those evangelists would never send a dime overseas because they're busy wasting it on themselves. I want you to notice something about this in the place of temptation. He wasn't out on the street corner. He wasn't down by Walmart. He was in the temple. He was on the pinnacle of the temple. He was in a high and a holy place. And I don't care high and holy, how high and how holy you get, Satan will still tempt you. He will tempt you right now in this service to shut your ears off. He will say, like many of us have said, is he ever going to get done? I was preaching at Grove Crest Rest Home in Pontiac, Michigan, when I was in Bible college. And some of the people had their faculties, some of them didn't. We had a lady that used to run around in the hall there in her wheelchair and say, help, 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 help. I said, can I help you? No. So you go on. I preached at a service there one time, and this lady is sitting in the back in her wheelchair, and she looked out over at her friend, and of course she was deaf as a stump. And I'd been preaching probably a good 5 minutes. And you know what I'm talking about. Merle knows what I'm talking about. And she looked over at her friend, and she says, ain't he ever going to quit? That's just the way it is. The place of temptation was high and it was holy. We learn from that there is no shortcut, or there is no way you can get beyond temptation. You can be in church 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and on your knees in an altar, and Satan will still tempt you. We learn from this just what Jesus did. He quoted the scriptures. You and I have to stay in the scriptures. You notice also with the scripture that Satan quoted there. He quoted Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And you don't need to look it up now. But if you read what he quoted in Matthew chapter 4, and you'll read Psalm chapter 91, verses 11 and 12, you'll see that he left something out. Pastor doing a study on Sunday nights of phrases and words and verses that are left out of the new translations. See, that's not new. Satan did that 2,000 years ago. He left a key part of that verse out of there, and he didn't quote the whole thing. He must have been using the reversed version. We learn also, Christianity is not a solo sport. We need fellowship. We are not always on the mountaintop. We are sometimes in the valley. And we need the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ to help us out of that valley. And we learn from what Jesus did There is no free lunch. It just takes diligence. You got to stay in the scriptures. The third thing we see here, bow down and worship me. Satan wanted Jesus to accept the counterfeit. He wants us to accept the counterfeit every day. Jesus could have led the nation of Israel to victory over Rome. He could have been honored. He could have been a great rabbi. But he couldn't save the world unless he went to the cross. And Jesus wasn't interested in being a great rabbi. He was interested in dying on that Calvary's cross and bringing salvation to those that would accept it. We see the same thing today. If you're not a student of history, you're doomed to repeat it. Those of you that have studied history, before World War II, Clement Attlee, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, when Adolf Hitler invaded Poland, he said, peace at any price. He says, let him have Poland, and that'll satisfy him. Well, you know how much that satisfied Adolf Hitler. We see a Holocaust and his work. Millions of Jews died, plus other people, other ethnic people. That's the world's way to do it. Accept the counterfeit. In my time, I graduated from high school in 1956. That makes me 39 plus. The Korean conflict was just about over. And the big news of that day was the President of the United States called General MacArthur back. General MacArthur had crossed the 38th parallel, and he had them on the run, and they were headed into China, and he wouldn't have stopped till he'd cleaned that mess up. And he was stopped by the President of the United States. And we have a tyrant in North Korea today because of the counterfeit and accepting the temporary. Lyndon Johnson, his war on poverty. Have we won that? We can feed and clothe and house and do all we want, but the Bible says the poor will be with us always. You can't legislate that. You can't give somebody something and hoping that'll bring them out of that place that they're in. They're in that place for a reason. And they need to be taught to work and to earn and to be a respectable citizen. We have today hyphenated Americans, African Americans, Arab Americans, hillbilly Americans. We have all kinds of them. We have integration in the United States of America without assimilation. America is a great country. And the people that are Americans need to take the hyphen out of their name and just become plain Americans and go for the good of the country. Instead of trying to dissolve and destroy the good that this country has. Integration without assimilation. Anything but Christ and life is temporary. Good works, baptism, church membership, they count on it, but it's a counterfeit. You can't do God's work without God's power, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. There is no substitute for holy living. There is no substitute for a reverential fear of God and a love of God. There's no substitute for prayer and Bible study. If you want to get close to God and get close to Christ and be the kind of Christian that God can bless, you need those things. And you need to be consistent. Spaghetti dinners, raffles, rummage sales, or all the other things that are like that. are not a substitute for tithes and offerings. God's plan is that God's work is supported by the tithes and offerings of God's people, not the world, not those that like spaghetti, but by the tithes and offerings. God blesses us so we can give. We can't give until we get. God gives, and then we give back. It's the blessings of God. And let me say a few things about temptations here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." You're not in this by yourself. You're not the only one. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you are able to bear it." God will not allow you to be tempted above what you can handle. You notice also that God's children are not exempt. Just because you're a child of God doesn't mean you won't be tempted. If you think that God's children are exempt, read the book of Job. You'll get your eyes opened in a hurry. God said Job was a just man, a good man, a man that feared God, and all the things that we're supposed to be. We also learn that temptation is not the same as sin. You can be tempted 40 times without sinning. You sin when you fall to temptation. So don't be worried that you're tempted. It's not sin until you fall for it. We all like to live on a mountaintop, but there wouldn't be a mountaintop if there wasn't a valley. And we all go through valleys. There are only three kinds of temptations, but they come in many forms. Temptations make us strong. They strengthen us. You want to build up your muscle? You lift weights. And you start with small ones, and you build up to big ones. You want to build your spirituality? You conquer the small temptations, and then you conquer the big ones. Something else about temptations. Temptations are not off the shelf either. They are custom made. They are custom made just for you. The devil knows what it takes to make you trip. You couldn't tempt me with a cigarette. A lot of people have that problem. You couldn't tempt me with one. It's vile. Devil wouldn't tempt me with a cigarette. He knows what he can tempt me with, and I'm not going to tell you. Ask my wife. But the devil's temptations are tailor-made for you. Not for somebody else, but for you. He knows our weaknesses, and he uses them to his advantage. And they sometimes... the temptations appear to be holy things. All the choices we have in life are not necessarily between good and bad. We have to make choices between good, better, and best. Those are the tough ones. That's why we need to be close to God in prayer. That's why we need to keep our nose in the Bible. The Word of God is our defense. And lastly, we see the tempter, Satan. If you know your Bible, you know that Satan had nothing to offer the Son of God. He didn't have a thing that would help Jesus out. He doesn't have anything he can offer us that will help us. You learn something else about Satan. You think you're immune? He challenged the Son of God. He doesn't have any shame. He doesn't know what defeat is. He gets bested on that one. He comes back another way. That's the way the devil operates. He has no shame, no sense of defeat. And also, he has no power that God does not allow. Satan is not all-powerful. God is. Satan promises things that he can't deliver. You ever take a job someplace and they promised you the moon and you got on the job and you found out that that was the vilest place you could ever work and none of the promises, none of the things came true that they told you they were going to do? That's the way Satan is. He doesn't deliver. And lastly, with Jesus Christ and with us, when we conquer temptation, Satan has to leave, defeated. And the angels minister to us. And all of us have a guardian angel that takes care of us. We finish this passage of Scripture. The next verse is, from that time, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4 and verse 17. The gospel was preached. The temptations were met. And Jesus did the most important thing that you and I can do. The most important thing is still the salvation of souls. Many ministries have been sidetracked into feeding and clothing and housing the poor and letting them die and go to hell. What has been accomplished? Absolutely nothing. The most important thing is still the salvation of lost souls. And I ask tonight, how about yours? Do you know you're saved and sure and set and ready for heaven? Do you know that Jesus Christ has come into your heart and the Holy Spirit has moved in and cleansed you and taken away your sin? And you can stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you're not tempted, I think I'd want to question my salvation. Because if you're saved, you're going to be tempted. Satan doesn't bother his own children. He just bothers God's children. Father, as we come to you tonight, there's not a one in here in this building or anywhere that names the name of Jesus Christ is not going to face temptation. Help us to realize what they are and where they come from and the power behind them and the power that we have to conquer them. And help us as children of God to stay in our Bibles, stay close to you, talk to you every day in prayer. Be concerned about the lost, not just in Biesville and Guernsey County in Ohio, but all around the world. We pray that you'll bless our mission program. And we pray, Lord, that this church will always be known as a salvation station. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.